A simple and proper function of government is just to make it easy for us to do good and difficult for us to do wrong. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. A simple and proper function of government is just to make it easy for us to do good and difficult for us to do wrong. These are the words of President Jimmy Carter. He's always been a very interested man in having the government be for the people, by the people, and of interest to the people. Contrary to the way a lot of legislators handle things, they make things so complex that we sometimes wonder what's going on. As I told you, I was reading the book of the driver's license manual for California, and I thought, my goodness sakes, these people are going to need to have a degree in literature to read that book and read that language and use the words. I'm bad enough with my vocabulary occasionally running off above what the average eighth grader does, you know. But I am teaching a philosophy which is telling us to go beyond our limitations. And so I carry us beyond our limitations and offer all sorts of brand new glorious ideas on how to be even better than we ever dreamed we'd be. A simple and proper function of government is just to make it easy for us to do good. Now, how does government make it easy for us to do good? What is it that is the most difficult, insidious, hideous, actually ugly, terrible, improper, you know, thing that the government does, and parents do? And the simple and proper function of government is to make it difficult for us to do wrong. We see, that's the difficulty. We make it difficult for us to do wrong. What we want to do is to concentrate on making it easy for us to do good. Now, what might be an illustration of that? We could look at something that the government says, you have to stop at the stop sign, you have to caution, you have to be careful, you have to do, those are just street sign laws, you know, and no marijuana, no this, no alcohol. I mean, you know, now, I'm not sort of saying these things are wrong or right, but I'm just saying those are the negatives that the government is giving us. Now, how could, say, for instance, the stopping at the stop sign be a more beneficial thing? Now, I use the term when I talk to little children, and I say, hey, the street is for big cars, and the sidewalk is for kids, you know, and you don't want to play out in the street because that's where the big cars play, and they don't always see you, and they don't realize that children are playing in the street. And so you play on your sidewalk, and the big cars will play in the street. You play on your sidewalk, and the big cars will play on the street. Now, you stop here so that they can go, and then they stop there so you can go. It's a game of tit-for-tat and cooperation and working harmoniously. Now, every time I drive into Parkway Plaza Shopping Center from Broadway, I turn into the drive, and then we come to a stop sign. And vehicles are going through and are turning and are coming forward and are going down. And there's just a couple of stop signs there. No wisdom signs, just stop signs. And the people don't look at the stop signs. They look at the traffic. And they see that the people are coming. They stop because they know it's a stop. But they see people are coming. And they give one person the right to go through, then they go through. And another person has the right to go through, then somebody else goes through. They each interweave harmoniously and cooperatively with one another. Now, you can't force that. You can recommend it, but you cannot force that. That has to be something of the goodwill and the joy and the fun and the easiness of the individual drivers driving in the under that circumstance. Now, it is true to take all of the negatives and make them positive would be a hellish time. We've asked our students to come up with a positive dictionary. And as you recall, Katrina tried to do it for a while, and she found that there was just no way to do it. Now, how could we come up with positive rules for our government? There's one way to go about doing that, and that is to have our government think for the good of the people, instead of thinking for their protection, or their safety, or the rights of others. If your rights are protected, everybody else's rights are protected too. You understand? Mm-hmm. If your rights, if what is best for you, then it's also good for everybody else. Now, when it's not good for everybody else, when it's good for you, then you have to look at it again. And you look at it not so much of changing it, but at why it is that it is not good for others. Now, this has been going on from the beginning of time, of course. Parents tell their children, you know, come in at night because the saber-toothed tiger is out there, and if you don't come in at dark, you won't come in at all. Saber-toothed tiger will have some extra dinner. So, who was it who got the Ten Commandments? Wasn't that Moses? Mm-hmm. And Moses went up on the mountain, and he came down with Ten Commandments that were glorious commandments, proclaiming man as the most wonderful fulfillment of God's perfect ideal, and proclaiming that man is good and very good, proclaiming everything beautiful about man. And then Moses came down and saw his people being contrary to the rules that he had established for them. He had established for them. They hadn't established that. And he's so angry, he took these good Ten Commandments and smashed them, and went back up the mountain and got the bad Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know, that's pretty heavy. Now, can you see why a nation of people with thou shalt nots is a pretty tough nation? And I don't mean tough in standing up for principle, but they're put down. They're put down. The Jews were put down from the very beginning with all this thou shalt not stuff, you know. And that in the day that you see God, you shall die. And things like that. And even God didn't say that. He said, when you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall be able to die. You lose your immortality. You lose your ability to live eternally. And so, you know, these are things that people miss in the Bible, not because they're not standing right out in front there, but because they never looked at it from the point of view that is this beneficial or non-beneficial? Now, what if a good psychologist, a positive thinking psychologist, had gotten a hold of Moses when he was ready to go back up the mountain? What kind of Ten Commandments do you think he would have written? He would have written a set of Ten Commandments that would have just melted the hearts of his people, and they would have just followed him forever into anything. But you see, when you have a Ten Commandments that allow you to go and slaughter people in the community that you want, just because you want that town for yours, you know, that's pretty heavy. You're on very thin ice as far as being positive about doing what Jimmy Carter is suggesting here. A simple and proper function of government is just to make it easy for us to do good. And I think that perhaps is even the most important part. He added, difficult for us to do the wrong. And difficult for us to do the wrong, and by that he meant by having the repercussions that would come from doing it. But what is it that you want to do? What is it that you want to see and what you want to respond to in your life? Do you want to respond to the positive, the good, the easy things that make life good and beautiful? Or do you want to respond to the things that are not so easy? Now, I have the girls at campus here right now, and they are studying English, and they are studying sentence construction, and they are studying many things. And if I were their English teacher, I would not be allowed to pass them because they still use inverted English. Now, that's not so bad, except that when they use inverted English, I bring it to their attention, and then they get irritated at me for bringing it to their attention. And I'm not bringing it to their attention because I think that they're bad. I'm bringing it to their attention because they want to learn good English. And I don't bring it to their attention by saying, "Oh, you stupid jerk, you spoke in reverse English again." I just said, "This is the comment. Let's turn the corner around. Let's go around the corner," you know. And so it's just a simple, wonderful way of sharing and teaching. But when you feel guilty inside of yourself because you haven't taken the task of learning your English and applying it best, it's something. Now, you have said people who are really in love with America, are really in love with English, are really in love with language, are really in love with themselves, they do not want to have a dialect. They do not want to have anything about them that indicates that they're from Wisconsin, or they're from New York, or they're from England or Switzerland or wherever. You know, you don't want anyone to have the slightest concept that you're from there. Me, because I have the English that is used by the radio announcers and television commentators, people think that I'm from England oftentimes because I enunciate clearly and speak fairly clearly most of the time. And so I get that label, and I say, "You're way off," you know. But I like to speak as clearly as possible too, and that's why I remind myself. I think maybe for all of us, it's time that we get a bucket of stones again and put them in our mouth and turn on the radio and television real loud and talk to each other over it with a mouthful of stones, because we would be doing like Demosthenes was doing, speaking over the sound of the waves. Although, on the Mediterranean Sea, I didn't know that their waves were that noisy. Are they so noisy on the Mediterranean Sea? Mm-hmm. I guess you can have some pretty wild. You can have some pretty wild storms on the Mediterranean, can't you? Mm-hmm. But I mean, you think of the Atlantic, and that's pretty wild.
Oh, yeah.
And you think of the Pacific, that's usually calm, mm-hmm. but it has some wild moments too. But I think this is an interesting thought jerker. A simple and proper function of government is just to make it easy for us to do good and difficult for us to do wrong. It gives us something to think about, something to put our teeth into and say, "I like it that government makes it easy for us to do good." Because that's what it's all about. So, my loves, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.